I'm thinking of three words. Can anybody guess where I'm finding those three words? Our songs this morning really sum up those three words: to rejoice in the Lord, and to be thankful, and to praise the Lord. And we do have so much to be thankful for. This morning we're going to look at the scriptures. We're going to turn to the book of Psalms shortly. But of course, you know, you ask the question, what are you thankful for today? In Canada, we have a lot to be thankful for. And sometimes we have to count our blessings because it's so easy to forget them. The tradition of Thanksgiving in Canada started many, many years ago. In fact, centuries ago, we had an explorer that came to Canada from overseas. It took him a few months to get here. His name was Martin Frobisher. He was looking for the Northwest Passage. And I'm glad he didn't try to navigate his way all the way to the Pacific. It would have been a long journey on foot. And when he arrived, which is a historical fact, he landed in Newfoundland. He gave thanks for surviving his journey there. And other settlers came to Canada, and they stopped when they arrived, and they were thankful to God. And so these celebrations of thanks that happened in our history have influenced Canada to have a Canadian Thanksgiving. And in 1957, Canada got it right. And this was the announcement from the Canadian government that the second Monday in October be a day of general thanksgiving to Almighty God for the bountiful harvest with which Canada has been blessed. And that's why we have a Thanksgiving weekend in Canada. 60 years ago, we got it right. The focus should be on the giver. Canada got it right, the Almighty God. And so being thankful to the Lord, we look at the bounty that we have in this country. And it makes us thankful because being thankful is a life-changing event. And when we are thankful, it makes us appreciate the goodness of God. We're going to turn in our Bibles to the book of Psalms. And Psalm 92 says that it is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High. So if you have a Bible, you can turn there this morning to the book of Psalms. The Psalms are our hymn book. And if you've never been here at Bethel before, welcome. And we love to sing here at Bethel Bible Chapel. And we were doing just that this morning wonderfully, praising the name of God. And the book of Psalms is a song book, and this is a psalm with no author listed in our Bibles. And the purpose of the psalm, or this song, was a song for the Sabbath day. And we sometimes think that they were just kind of like, you know, moping and lethargic. But when we read the psalm, you'll see that there was a lot to sing about. And a lot to say. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. On an instrument of 10 strings, on the lute and on the harp, with harmonious sound. For you, Lord, have made me glad through your work. I will triumph in the work of your hands. O Lord, how great are your works! Your thoughts are very deep. A senseless man does not know, nor does a fool understand this. When the wicked spring up like grass, and when all the workers of iniquity flourish, it is that they may be destroyed forever. But you, Lord, are on high forevermore. For behold your enemies, O Lord, for behold your enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn you have exalted like a wild ox. I've been anointed with fresh oil. My eye also has seen my desire on my enemies. My ears hear my desire on the wicked who rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. To declare that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. There are many different psalms that we could have read today. We were singing about Psalm 100, and the necessity of thankfulness and praising God and how they come together. And so we see that a good outline for this psalm is the central place of thanksgiving. And so we see a simple outline being the place of thanksgiving, that we are a thankful, a worshiping people, and then we are an overcoming people, because there are obstacles and there are enemies in the path of many. And then we are a flourishing people. And there's a central place for worship and thanksgiving. And it's because God's people, when they came together, paused and were reminded of the greatness of God. And it produced these two things, praise and thanksgiving. It's a forceful statement in verse 8, but you, Lord, are on high forevermore. Man understands his place. Man understands the place that God has. There's a correctness to praising God. And in these middle verses, we see that it's appropriate to do it. Spurgeon said this in regards to the psalm. He said, it is a good thing to give thanks to the Lord. It's good ethically, for it's the Lord's right. It is good emotionally, for it is pleasant to the heart. And it's good practically, for it leads others to render the same homage. And he says that you have exalted my horn like that of a wild ox. The language, the descriptive language of the Psalms and the feelings of the writers of the Psalms express what was in their heart as they looked up to a holy God and a God that looked after them as they reflected on their history. And then in this next part of the Psalm, he reminds us that there's wisdom, but there's also foolishness. And that foolishness is centered around those that don't believe. And there are two good reasons why people should be converted from being unbelievers to believers. Number one, this life is very short. And this is not all there is, because there's more to come. And so the encouragement this morning for us is that there is more to come, and it's found in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then finally, the blessing of believing as he closes this psalm. It's a wonderful thing to be part of the family of God and to believe. And he says three words that start with the letter F in this section. He talks about flourishing, and he talks about being fruitful, and he talks about being faithful. And so these are our reminders. The scriptures are loaded with thoughts about thanksgiving. And I want to remind us this morning that the scripture says that we should give thanks always to God for all things in the name of the Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, Ephesians 5 and 20. We ought to be a thankful people. We have much to be thankful for. And yet, the scriptures remind us that in the last days, there will become difficult times. Perhaps we are in those last days as we look out in the world and we see the horrors of what happened a week ago in Las Vegas and other parts of the world with refugees being evicted out of their countries in Myanmar. It's a tough world to be in. And yet, it's even worse. Because in these last days, men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, and unthankful makes the list. Being unthankful. We ought to praise God. The Lord healed 10 lepers. And that's a great story in itself. And yet only one came back to thank him for his cleansing power in his life. God wants us to be grateful. Not to be served by him, but to serve him. And then we have the scripture from the book of Romans. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen. We've been thinking about God's creation, and we're going to spend a little bit of time looking at that this morning. Being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, the world is without excuse, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. How do we get that light? By believing in God, by putting our faith in him. So why should we be thankful? That's the first question this morning. Why should we be thankful? And the scripture says, because it's good. It is good to give thanks to the Lord. It's good for you and me, first of all, that we do that, because God has decreed it to be so. He realizes that a thankful heart, a heart full of appreciation and gratitude, is good for God's people, and it's good for everyone to be thankful. Our Canadian government has made it a day of rest tomorrow, and we ought to be focused on what we have already heard to give thanks to Almighty God. It's good for us, but it's also good for God. He designed it to be a blessing to us, but also to exalt his name before everyone. Praise and thankfulness is right. Again, looking at these verses 2 to 5, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. What a great way to start the day. To just thank the Lord for being merciful. That word loving kindness, just being merciful. I made it through the night. I'm awake. I have breath in my lungs. I can get up. I can move to whatever extent you can move. You know, seniors move a little bit less than they used to, but we can all move a little bit. And then every night, God was faithful to us for another day. It guards against bad attitudes and actions when we do this. We can get in bad habits if we're not careful. Grumbling, complaining, not being content. Teaches us God's way of giving because he has given to us. Promotes good health, this attitude of gratitude. We should be thinking about so many of the blessings he's given us. He's given us his truth. We have God's word. Free to open it every day. You're not going to go to jail because you opened a Bible. You're not going to go to jail because you went to church. So many blessings that we have in this country. Our families, the challenges are there. But thank God he's given us families and different things that we all need. And he can provide for those. And he's given us a nation that we have this freedom in. And the works of his hands. And has given us hands that can work. So many blessings. But we need to remember the giver. We need to remember the giver. And we're going to look at a video clip. And through this video clip, I know you asked David to start rolling the video clip with a little background music, but I want to read some scriptures through it. And I'm an optometrist, and I've never had an eye exam like this before. You'll see what I mean in a few minutes. But as we watch the video and the telescope moves out in this animated segment, we see the universe from a different perspective, one that we'll never see. And God wants us to see his universe as an extension of himself so that we might believe in him. Moses wrote, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And God said, let there be light and let there be life. All matter, time, and space were created by God. King David wrote, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. They have no speech, they use no words, no sound is heard from them, yet their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world and the heavens. God has pitched a tent for the sun. Jeremiah said, O Lord God, it is you who have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and by your outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you. The writer of Hebrews said, you have laid the foundation of the earth in the beginning and the heavens are the work of your hands. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by God so that the things which are seen are not made of things which are visible. The invisible hand of God in creation. 10 billion light years away, as we zoom back to Earth, from the telescope, we're going to be switching gears and going into the microscope. And the scripture continues to tell us, verse after verse, as we look in the stars, of the power of God, the majesty of his grandeur in creation. And yet, as we zoom in and look within ourselves on this little blue marble, we realize that the Lord God formed man of the dust of this earth. And he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. And as we zoom in through the eye and go into the details of our human body, we realize that God's hands have made me and fashioned me, and given me understanding that I may learn your commandments. But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay and your potter, and all of us are the work of your hand, fearfully and wonderfully made. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him. And without him was not anything made that was made. For by him all things were created. All things were created through him and for him. And that's a very small number, 10 femtometers. 10 to the power of minus 13, a billionth of a millimeter. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. And worthy are you, O Lord. Worthy are you, O Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and they were created. The works of God. We can only imagine what's out there, and we're beginning to understand that with telescopes, and we're beginning to understand what's really in here. God has provided great proof that he's there. The more we learn, the more we know that God is real. Scientists are agreeing in great numbers. The evidence is overwhelming that in the beginning, God created. It didn't happen by chance. There is a purpose to the universe. We have a purpose. God has designed a stage for us to live on this blue marble. He wants us to believe him, and he wants us to receive him in the person of his son, the Lord Jesus. And it's foolish not to believe in God. It's foolishness. The Bible has said, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. A senseless man does not know, nor does a fool understand this. And he talks about the wicked, and we see wickedness in the world. There is a God in heaven that will do right. The scripture says that. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? People are concerned that there's no justice. Justice was carried out 2,000 years ago on a cross. There was no other way to settle it. God sent his only son into the world on that cross to remove the separation between a sinful man and woman and a holy God. The Lord Jesus took that place. And the problem in this world is this. The hand that made us. You got to think about this picture just a little bit. The hand that made us is the hand that's trying to erase the God that made the hand. That's mankind, and that is ingratitude. To be unthankful for the one that made you. To be unthankful for the one that made it all. To be unthankful to the one who gave us everything. We ought to be so thankful. Yes, there is justice in the world, but God's demands for justice were answered by God himself. The scripture says to remember God's love and God's mercy are balanced. We think that we have everything by the work of our hands, and yet the scripture tells us, what do you have that you did not receive from God? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as though you did not? You know, it's like the old joke between an atheist and God, and the atheist said, I can do anything you can do. And God said, well, okay, go ahead. And he said, okay, I'm going to make something. And God said to him, well, get your own dirt, because it's impossible for man to do anything. God gave us the stuff. This is the problem. Where did it come from? It's not just here. It's here magnificently displaying the greatness of God. And James said it this way, every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow that shifts. God is great. And you, Lord, are high forevermore. I think that's the central verse of this psalm, that the Lord is high forevermore. And his desire is that we as his people not only acknowledge him, but because of the relationship that each one of us can have with him, that we can be blessed and we can flourish. It's just not saying I have life, but Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Not just satisfied with living, but with flourishing with what God has done. And that word flourish can be translated to blossom or to grow. And he says you'll blossom in the courts of God. You know, in the Old Testament, that was an important place in the Jewish temple, the courts of God. And as the people gathered, they recognized that God was the one who was the king over all. And of course, we look forward to the day when we will be literally in the very courts of heaven, the very place where God is. The scripture in the book of Psalms talks about a man who's blessed. And I just want to read to you that this man is blessed because of the following. He walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. He doesn't stand in the path of sinners. He doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. That's a wonderful psalm, but it doesn't end there. The warning is this, the ungodly are not so. They are like the chaff which the wind drives away, and the ungodly shall not stand. They won't be able to stand in the judgment. Nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. We're either in God's family or we're not. We've either received salvation or we have not. And this idea of believing in the Lord is as a fact of blessing. There's blessing in believing in the Lord. And the central verse, I think, is the key. recognizing that he is high and mighty and exalted. And God says your enemies will be defeated because they're my enemies too. It's a claim that God is going to balance the books one day. And he says that those who believe in him will flourish. That's his desire for us, is to be fruitful and fruit-bearing. The Lord Jesus said that we shall bear fruit. In fact, he said bearing much fruit, much fruit. So that's the why we should thank God. And next is how. And I think the word is there. By rejoicing in the Lord. We have a lot to comment on in life, don't we? Just go to a coffee shop and sit down with people and start talking. And it's amazing what we start talking about. And it's not always starting off with this concept of rejoicing in the Lord always. But we ought to do that. And there's no downside to being grateful to a thankful God. No doubt, he's thankful for his creation. He said, it's good. He wants us to be thankful too. So how should we thank him? By rejoicing. Secondly, by accepting his indescribable gift. I love getting gifts. I don't ask for them, but when I get them, I'm so appreciative. But there's never been a gift like the Lord Jesus Christ in this world. The Bible says he is indescribable. A tract that I remember reading and being blessed by was called The Incomparable Christ. Who compares to him? No one. And God's gift to us is indescribable. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15. And so when we look at the possibility of receiving this gift, the world received him, and yet they did not want him. And they said, crucify this man. We will not have this man to reign over us. You know, when we call him the Lord Jesus Christ, what we're saying is, Lord, rule in my life. Be my king. Be my sovereign. Be my God. That's receiving him. And it's only possible when we consider the cost of our salvation. And it should make us thankful. The Lord Jesus said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I will raise it up. You see, the cost of our salvation was a cross. He died for us. Thank God the story 3 days later was quite different. He rose again for our justification, the Bible says. So we ought to be so thankful to him. Have you considered that? Have you ever had a moment in your life where you said to God, I am thankful to you for your son? Have you ever had a time in your life where you've done that? I've done that in my life. It took me a while to get there. This may be a new concept to some of you. It may not be new. Maybe you've heard it before. But for anyone that's here that's never actually thought of it before, God gave us everything he had in the person of his son. And he did that so that we would receive him personally as our own Savior. The cost was great. God demonstrated his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It's the greatest transaction that has ever taken place. Christ left heaven, came to earth, and became sin for us, the one who knew no sin, that we might be blessed, that we would receive God's righteousness. It's a fantastic transaction. It produces rejoicing and thanksgiving and praise because of God's wonderful extension of his love to us. And how else can we show him? Well, by what we've been doing this morning. We've been singing. So we need to discipline ourselves to give thanks to God. You have to do it, right? Being here today meant you made an effort to come. And we're glad you're here. And part of what we do when we come is to sing and make music in our hearts to the Lord. And giving thanks to God the Father for everything. For everything. So Psalm 92 tells us how God's people should thank him in these days that we live. Now, I have an announcement to make. It's in our bulletin, but it's good to highlight it. Next Sunday night at 7 o'clock, we're going to have an opportunity to have a great time of singing. You'll be able to come next Sunday night, and you'll be able to give out your favorites. We're going to do it in the fellowship hall. It's not going to be a regular Sunday night get-together, and you'll be able to call out a number, call it a song, and we're going to sing for that hour together. It's a great opportunity. We should be a singing people, and we are. And this is an opportunity. Mark your calendars next Sunday night. Thursday's Mully, Sunday night singing. Next Sunday morning, we're going to start with a wonderful message in our Bible study series, our small group series, on Jesus, the name above all names, and Bill's going to lead us off with that next week. We're going to start our small groups. We have something to sing about. He has the name that is above every name. Come out. No excuses? Anybody got a good excuse yet? Nope. Sunday night, we're ready to come out and sing. Please join us Sunday night and singing these hymns of praise to God. Daily thanksgiving, praising the name of God with a song. Singing is an amazing way of getting people to pay attention. Now, I've got to tell you two short stories. The fellow that married us had told us a story about his dad. The preacher that married us, his name was John Adams, and his dad was a singer. He wasn't a preacher. He was a singer. And he'd be out in the garden, and he'd be singing from the Believer's Hymn Book or whatever songs he knew, and he would sing heartily, praising the name of God. And his neighbors used to come out to listen to him. There's something about singing. My father-in-law at 97 went to heaven in July. He was a singing man. And in the nursing home where he was at Maple View, people would listen because they would hear him first. He'd be singing coming out of the elevator, singing coming out of the bathtub, singing coming out of the dining room. Why? Because he could sing these words, Jesus is the sweetest name I know. And he's just the same as his lovely name. And that's the reason why I love him so. And that's why we should be singing about Jesus, because he's the sweetest name I know. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. One of my favorite records a few decades ago, before we had technology that was different than records, was Psalms Alive. It's an old series of records, and they were the psalms put to music. Beautiful. Just enjoying the word of God in song. Awana teaches kids, at least it always has, using songs that are scriptures put to music. It's a great way to learn the word of God. And then we enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise, and to be thankful to him. Bless his name, for he is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. We shout joyfully, we serve the Lord with gladness. We come before him with singing, into his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise, and thankful to him and praise. Those are all steps of worship and appreciation, and all produce thanksgiving for who the Lord is, that he's our creator. The Lord Jesus is our Savior. He sent the Holy Spirit to us as a gift to seal us, to keep us until the day of redemption, and we go to be with him. Quiz time. Gratitude quiz, okay? Sharpen your spiritual pencils. We give thanks to him for all he's done for us. We should thank him and praise him for who he is, because he's always good. That's what the psalm says. So score yourself with a comment in your own mind. Answer yes or no. This is for you to assess your gratitude quotient. Number one, I have so much in life to be thankful for. Yes or no? If I had to list everything that I felt grateful for, it would be a long list. When I look at the world, I see so many things that inspire gratitude. I'm grateful to a wide variety of people. As I get older, I find myself more able to appreciate people, events, and situations that have been part of my life history. Just being thankful for someone who did something for you. I feel grateful to the Lord several times a week, sometimes even a few times a day. Do you feel that way? Just grateful, thanking the Lord. Well, we should say yes to all of those, but life's challenges make it tough to say yes to all of those questions. And steps that help us to really overflow, of course, is to enter with an attitude of thanksgiving so that we can overflow. And the first one is to make sure that you're connected to God, that you have a relationship with the Lord, that you have a point in your time when you said yes to the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Secondly, practice experiencing God with all your senses. God wants us to use our bodies, our eyes, our ears, our voices, all of the things that God has given us, even tasting good good food. Thank God. We have wonderful food to eat. We have clean water, fresh air. So much to thank God. And to really understand this, that God is good all the time. Important. That's how we overflow with thanksgiving, getting our priorities straight. To saturate our thinking with a God-centered way of thinking in all the events of our life. I heard a story. I have a really hard time relating to this. A young woman was in a car accident and died instantly. And her father came to the scene of the accident and looking at his daughter on the ground, and he thanked God for his daughter. He thanked God that she was in heaven with her Savior. He thanked God for the way she influenced other people in her life. That is hard to do. There are people that are facing mountains of sickness with an attitude of gratitude, plowing through what they face every day, saturating your thinking in all the events of your life in the Lord. And be careful. Be careful to be thankful and not to be unthankful, because God has made a difference in our lives. That's what we should be at the end of the day. Happy. Happy, thankful. Absolutely. Avoid complaining. Avoid complaining. I used to think, Dr. Robbins writes, that people complained because they had a lot of problems. But I came to realize that they had more problems because they complained. Complaining doesn't change anything, does it? Or make the situation better. It's just frustration being expressed. How much better would it be if we were thankful? The Apostle Paul, and we'll close with a few of these verses. The Apostle Paul said what I think we have a hard time saying sometimes. He said, first, I thank God for all of you. That's Romans 1. I always thank God for you. 1 Corinthians. Paul wasn't in prison when he wrote these verses. Life might not have been easy, but he was thankful. But then he went to jail. And he said, I've not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. It wasn't a nice place to be. Wrote that in Ephesians. Philippians, he said, I thank my God every time I remember you. I can honestly say that when I think of some of you, you know, I go, but for most of you, I'm, no, that's being too honest, right? I am thankful for you because as my brothers and sisters in Christ, we are family. We are the family of God. And he said, I thank God every time I remember you. He prays for them, he says, and he's thanking God for them when he prays. We ought to be like that. As we intervene for one another, we go to the throne of grace to find help from God in the hour of need. We ought to be thankful. A thankful spirit is one of the key distinguishing marks of a Christian. It sets us apart from the world. It makes us different. It's a delight when you come across people that are truly thankful. Not complaining, but just thankful for what the Lord has done. And we'll close with this verse before Darren comes up with the team to sing How Great Thou Art. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Shall we pray? Father, we are thankful this morning because we can rejoice in the Lord. We can be thankful for your goodness. We can praise your name because of who you are and what you've done and for sending your beloved Son into this world to be our Savior. Thank you for the freedoms that we enjoy, the blessings that we could count on our fingers and toes and without number, all the things that we have to thank you for. But we thank you for loving us today. And we thank you for being a great God. And we pray that if there's anyone here today that needs to enter into a real relationship with you, that today would be a day of salvation. And we ask this now as we give you thanks in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Darren?